So it's not easy, for sure. That's why I've asked Mr. Trudeau this morning if we can keep people from the army until September 15. We're trying to get 10,000 people that would accept to be paid, to be trained in the next 3 months and start working in September full-time.
Premier Legault of Quebec says, hey, I need 10,000 personal support workers, and I need the army to stay at 25 different homes, long-term care homes in Quebec. The long-term care crisis is a nightmare. Now, when the military had those two reports, first in Ontario, then in Quebec, everyone said, oh my God, how is this happening? Well, you knew. We all knew. And we've been covering this for a long time because my friend, former journalist, now just graduating from McGill Law, a guy named Ryan Hicks, he actually heeded the call from Premier Legault and went to the front lines, and he's been a regular every week on our program, giving us a firsthand account of essentially the horrors there. And today, Ryan has just published a letter. I'm going to read you. Listen to this. Dear Premier Legault, I'm inviting you to leave the safe confines of your office and join me, a simple volunteer, on the front lines of what even you have described as a national emergency. Come spend a day with me inside the long-term care home. For the past few weeks, I've been working in one in Montreal, hard hit. I learned about the challenges. I volunteered because you asked people to step up. I've been stunned, shocked, and moved. I'm asking you to come and see firsthand. It will change the way you view this crisis. You will have to wear full ensemble. And he goes on. Ryan joins us now. Ryan, this letter is powerful. What led you to write this letter?
Hey, Ev. Well, I was thinking about, okay, like what, how can I use my skills as a journalist and the platform to try and affect some real change and call on our political leaders to take some real action, not more commissions, more inquiries, and all of this. It, you know, get them to come and see firsthand for themselves what needs to be done. Because, you know, we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks on your show all the challenges that I've seen that these residents are facing. And I had a friend say to me at the beginning of this, you should write something. And I was like, no, I don't. I can't do that right now. But it's been 5 weeks, and I felt like, okay, I'm ready to kind of put out a call for action, because it is, you know, we can talk about this a lot and I can write about it, but there really is also something powerful about visuals and images. And if people, if the political leaders who take these decisions saw, for example, this week on Tuesday on one of my floors, all the lights were shut off because it's so hot. The air conditioner in the common area was not on, and the residents are in their rooms. And way down the hallway, just watching the TV in his wheelchair, is this man. I think he's early 80s, like a very humble man. And I would come and chat with him and ask him if he needs some water. He said, oh, no, I'm fine. But thank you. I have my water jug, but thanks, Ryan, for coming and checking on me. And like, that just breaks my heart to see, like, in a way, it's a beautiful thing to see this resilience of some of our seniors, but it's just the loneliness this week has really moved me.
And then, by the way, it must be bloody hot in all your PPE.
Yeah. So imagine, right? Like, I'm in scrubs, I'm in a gown, I have two masks on, and I have gloves. So that's me. And then imagine the residents. They're in their rooms. There's no air conditioning. Like, it's 40 with the Humidex outside. Now, yesterday, on a couple floors that I was on, some of those common air conditioners were on, which is great. But there are other parts where they weren't. So, you know, that is just kind of almost adding another layer of, you know, the urgency about what's going on.
When you read the reports, Rye, from the military, were you just like, oh my God, I haven't seen that, or that's it? Welcome to the world.
Yeah, exactly. So yesterday I got to my facility, and my facility is in that report. I had read what was written by the military, and I sat and chatted, had lunch or had dinner with some of my soldier friends who we've been working together, and they said, we were talking about the report, and I said to them, look, like, we've seen the same things. Like, everything that you put in there, I've seen, and I've been talking about, I've been telling anybody who would listen. So that was really validating. And then this morning, one of my soldier friends texted me after reading my article, and she said to me, wow, like, that, this is incredible. I know the exact situations you're talking about. I can visualize them because we lived them together.
I know you say things are getting better, but by the way, what's been the reaction? So you write this open letter, you post it. What's been the reaction in Quebec in the midst of this crisis?
So it's been pretty overwhelming, I have to say, Evan. Like, it's a lot of retweets, a lot of people, a lot of French media taking notice, which is like which is great because, you know, the French media in Quebec have a lot of influence and can have a lot of impact. And so it's circulating in the Francophone world and the Anglophone world. And like, I'm just kind of overwhelmed by all, to be honest, by all the notifications and people.
But no response from the government. You know what? We should get Legault out there.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was trying to listen to the news conference that he had at 1 o'clock, but I was doing some other things. So I don't know if the question has been put to him. I would hope and I would love it if someone would put that question to him. And if he cannot, if he says he, you know, doesn't want to, explain why.
That's so interesting. By the way, Laura Stone from The Globe, who is a friend of yours as well, she just posted that the head of the union, Smokey Thomas, in Toronto, in Ontario, says that Premier Ford was given what he says wrong information about inspections, and they're going to issue a statement. So keep your eye out on that. That's fascinating.
Well, and one thing people have to remember, the soldiers were telling me yesterday, is that after every single shift that the soldiers do, they write a report. Okay, the military is very systematic. It's very organized. There's a paper trail. So these reports are not just like some brainstorming session people got together and said, you know, here's what I've seen. Like, this has been documented every day after every shift by everybody.
So in other words, so, everyone knew. Well, they knew right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Ryan, by the way, what do you make of quickly? I've got a minute here. The Legault's idea that he's going to hire 10,000 PSWs.
Well, he has to. I mean, that would be great. He needs to pay them their worth. Okay, and that starts at least $25 an hour, if not more. And they need to actually get out there and recruit. You know, I've spoken to just people on the street who have precarious work, who have said to me like that they would be willing to do this. And I've given them the email address.
Amazing.
And I'm just one person. So, you know, they need to get the governmental machinery in action.
But real quick, hardest job you've ever done?
Oh, by far.
Hardest job you've ever done?
Emotionally, mentally. But luckily I have like a lot of like people who are, you know, checking in on me. I do a debrief every week with the health agency where we kind of reflect on what's going on because this is not normal. This is not normal. What is continuing to happen?
The military report just validated what you've been telling us on this show for a month.
It did.
It's bad in there, and that's Ryan Hicks. He'll be back next week as he continues to do what I wish everyone did, had the integrity, the courage, and the commitment that you have. Ryan, I admire you greatly. I appreciate it. Stay safe. We'll speak next week on the front lines of some of the worst long-term care homes. That's Ryan Hicks.